Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Jana Braja Jana Ranjana Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Chadi Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Vijanvalabha Girivardhari. Jana Ranjana Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur. Bhaktavrinda. Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhu Pada Jaya Prabhu Pada Jaya Prabhu Pada Jaya Guru Deva Jaya Guru Deva Jaya Guru Deva Jaya Guru Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Jason, could you please? Hare Krishna. So today is the appearance day of Sri Advaita Acharya. So I thought we would read from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let's see, it's 7:55. I have to leave around 8:30, so. But I think we could get through chapter 6 of the Adi Lila, which is entitled The Glories of Sri Advaita Acharya. Maybe I won't try to read the Bengali and the Sanskrit. We'll just read the translations. But this is very wonderful. This explains the tattva, or the truth about Advaita Acharya, who he is and why he descended. So first I'll read the summary. Chapter 6, The Glories of Sri Advaita Acharya. The truth of Advaita Acharya has been described in two verses. These two verses are number 14 and 15. And the purport to these two verses is, I think it's about maybe 6 pages long. And these are not ordinary pages. These are like pages with a lot. The format of this book is like very much like a dictionary. So it's, to get a lot of information in one book. So anyway, it's 6 pages. So I'm not going to be able to read that whole purport because we don't have time to do it. But the summary also explains it in a real brief way. So the truth of Advaita Acharya has been described in two verses. It is said that material nature has two features, namely the material cause and the efficient cause. The efficient causal activities are caused by Mahavishnu, and the material causal activities are caused by another form of Mahavishnu known as Advaita. That Advaita, the superintendent of the cosmic manifestation, has descended in the form of Advaita Acharya to associate with Lord Chaitanya. When he is addressed as the servitor of Lord Chaitanya, his glories are magnified, because unless one is invigorated by this mentality of servitorship, one cannot understand the mellows derived from devotional service to the Supreme Lord Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya descended to teach the process of devotional service. And all the different associates of Lord Chaitanya, although they were different personalities, personalities, eternal associates of the Lord, and they had different relationships. But in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, there is only one relationship. That's dasya, servitorship. Okay, verse 1. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Advaita Acharya, whose activities are all wonderful. By his mercy, even a foolish person can describe his characteristics. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In 5 verses, I have described the principle of Lord Nityananda. Then in the following 2 verses, I describe the glories of Sri Advaita Acharya. Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. Sri Advaita Acharya is indeed directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. His glory is beyond the conception of ordinary living beings. Mahavishnu performs all the functions for the creation of the universes. Sri Advaita Acharya is his direct incarnation. That poop. Let's see, did I get it? That Purusha creates and maintains with his external energy. He creates innumerable universes in his pastimes. By his will, he manifests himself in unlimited forms, in which he enters each and every universe. Sri Advaitacharya is a plenary part of that Purusha, and so is not different from him. Indeed, Sri Advaitacharya is not separate, but is another form of that Purusha. He, Advaitacharya, helps in the pastimes of the Purusha, with whose material energy and by whose will he creates innumerable universes. Being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaitacharya is all auspicious for the world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. Purport. Sri Advaita Prabhu, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, is an acharya, or teacher. All his activities and all the other activities of Vishnu are auspicious. Anyone who can view the all auspiciousness in the pastimes of Lord Vishnu also becomes auspicious simultaneously. Therefore, since Lord Vishnu is the fountainhead of auspiciousness, anyone who is attracted by the devotional service of Lord Vishnu can render the greatest service to human society. Rejected persons of the material world who refuse to understand pure devotional service as the eternal function of the living entities and as actual liberation of the living being from conditional life become bereft of all devotional service because of their poor fund of knowledge. In the teachings of Advaita Prabhu, there is no question of fruitive activities or impersonal liberation. Bewildered by the spell of the material energy, however, persons who could not understand that Advaita Prabhu is non-different from Vishnu wanted to follow him with their impersonal conceptions. The attempt of Advaita Prabhu to punish them is also auspicious. Lord Vishnu and his activities bestow all good fortune, directly and indirectly. In other words, being favored by Lord Vishnu and being punished by Lord Vishnu are one and the same. And because all the activities of Vishnu are absolute. According to some, Mangala was another name of Advaita Prabhu. As the causal incarnation, or Lord Vishnu's incarnation for a particular occasion, he is the supply agent or ingredient in material nature. However, he is never to be considered material. All his activities are spiritual. Anyone who hears about and glorifies him becomes glorified himself. For such activities, free one from all kinds of misfortune. One should not invest any material contamination or impersonalism in the Vishnu form. Everyone should try to understand the real identity of Lord Vishnu, for by such knowledge one can attain the highest stage of perfection. Mahavishnu creates the entire material world with millions of his parts, energies, and incarnations. Just as the external energy consists of two parts, the efficient cause, nimitta, and the material cause, upadana, maya being the efficient cause and pradhan the material cause, so Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, assumes two forms to create the material world with the efficient and material causes. So this is the real long purport that I won't be able to read. Yeah. I really like the way that it's said in the summary, because it's I think it's easiest to understand there. I'm going to read it again. The truth of Advaitacharya has been described in two verses. It is said that material nature has two features, namely the material cause and the efficient cause. The efficient causal activities are caused by Mahavishnu, and the material causal activities are caused by another form of Mahavishnu known as Advaita. That Advaita, the superintendent of the cosmic manifestation, has descended in the form of Advaitacharya to associate with Lord Chaitanya. So, in this other verse here, the efficient cause is called Nimitta, and the material cause, Upadana. Maya being the efficient cause and Pradhan, the material cause. So what does this word efficient mean? Somebody got a dictionary meaning of efficient? Yeah, go ahead, look it up. So I think a lot of, explanation in the purports as well as in the verses by Krishna Das Kaviraj explain that the two are non-different. They're both forms of Mahavishnu. They may have different activities, but all the activities of Mahavishnu are on the absolute... Oh, thank you very much. Okay, efficient. Let's see here. Especially of a system or machine achieving maximum productivity with minimum wasted effort or expense. Achieving maximum productivity with minimum wasted effort or expense. See, the next one says, of a person working in a well-organized and competent way, preventing the wasteful use of a particular resource. Okay, so thank you very much. So one is, let's see, I'll read it one more time here. The efficient cause, Nimitta, and the material cause, Upadana. Maya being the efficient cause and Pradhan the material cause. So Pradhan, if I'm not mistaken, is the total Mahatattva. Before the modes of material nature enter in and start to create different varieties, there's the Mahatattva. The first thing is the Mahatattva, which is the total material energy. It's like formless, but it contains basically the ingredients. So one is that material nature, and the other is the efficient cause. Anyway, I'm not sure I understand this completely either, It gets pretty technical, some of this, and... Yeah. Well, I think what's being described here is that he does it through the activities of Maya. So here it's said that Maya is the efficient cause. Maya being the efficient cause and Pradhan the material cause. Yeah, see, that's why how it becomes a little confusing, right? And then, the last part of this verse says, Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, assumes two forms to create the material world with the efficient and material causes. So it's saying that, it's like simultaneously one and different, right? In other words, it all happens through the energies of Mahavishnu, but it may be carried out also by, like, Maya, right? Just like Prabhupada would use that example of like a big corporation. So the CEO, or he would talk about Ford, right? The Ford Motor Company. And he would say that, you know, Ford is there in every part of the, you know, he's like simultaneously there, but also in his, like in his office or whatever. Does that... Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what it's saying, that it's non-different. Another example I heard Srila Prabhupada use was he was on a plane, and the captain, you know, who was flying the plane, came back and sat down with Srila Prabhupada and, you know, kind of like greeted him and welcomed him, but he also told him he wanted to ask some questions. So Prabhupada said, okay, you know. And he, one of the questions he asks was, you know, if God is all good, why is there so much bad in the world, you know? How are we supposed to understand that? Why is there so much suffering, you know? It's a very, you know, good question. And Srila Prabhupada's answer was that, well, from God's point of view, there is no bad, you know, or good. He said that it's from the living entity's point of view, you know, that there's bad or good. And he explained it by a really wonderful analogy. He said, on the surface of the sun, there's no shadow. It's just all sunlight. He said, shadow is created if you turn your back towards the sun. So in other words, you know, there's no difference between the spiritual energy and the material energy. It's all Krishna's energy. But it's from our point of view, when we want to forget Krishna, it becomes material, and then we create bad and good. But for a liberated soul who's not forgetful of Krishna, there's no difference between the spiritual energy and the material energy. So that's to the best of my understanding. I don't think I don't know if I explained it very well, but... there's going to be some more explanation of this too, I think. Lord Vishnu himself is the efficient nimitta cause of the material world, and Narayan in the form of Sri Advaita is the material cause, upadana. Lord Vishnu is his efficient aspect. Lord Vishnu, in his efficient aspect, glances over the material energy. And Sri Advaita, as the material cause, creates the material world. Isn't it also said that sometimes Lord Advaita Acharya is a incarnation of Lord Shiva too? Have you heard that before? Yeah, okay. Although the Sankhya philosophy accepts that the material ingredients are the cause, The creation of the world never arises from dead matter. The Lord infuses the material ingredients with his own creative potency. Then by the power of the Lord, creation takes place. Sri Advaita Acharya is the creator of millions and millions of universes. And by his expansion as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he maintains each and every universe. Sri Advaita is the principal limb, Anga, of Narayana. Srimad Bhagavatam speaks of limb, Anga, as a plenary portion, Amsa, of the Lord. And then there's a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. O Lord of Lords, you are the seer of all creation. You are indeed everyone's dearest life. Are you not, therefore, my father, Narayan? Narayan refers to one whose abode is in the water, born from Nara, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And that Narayan is your plenary portion. All your plenary portions are transcendental. They are absolute and are not creations of Maya. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.14. This verse describes that the limbs and plenary portions of the Lord are all spiritual. They have no relationship with the material energy. Why has Sri Advaita been called a limb and not a part? The reason is that the limb implies greater intimacy. Sri Advaita, who is a reservoir of virtues, is the main limb of Mahavishnu. His full name is Advaita, for he is identical in all respects with the Lord, with that Lord. As he had formerly created all the universes, now he descended to introduce the path of bhakti. He delivered all living beings by offering the gift of Krishna bhakti. He explained the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of devotional service. Purport. Although Sri Advaita Prabhu is an incarnation of Vishnu, for the welfare of the conditioned souls, he manifested himself as a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And throughout all his activities, he showed himself to be an eternal servitor. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda also manifested the same principle, although they also belong to the category of Vishnu. If Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Advaita Prabhu had exhibited their all-powerful Vishnu potencies within this material world, people would have become greater impersonalists, monists, and self-worshippers. They would have become greater impersonalist monists and self-worshippers than they had already become under the spell of this age. Therefore, the personality of Godhead and his different incarnations and forms played the parts of devotees to instruct the conditioned souls how to approach the transcendental stage of devotional service. Advaita Acharya specially intended to teach the conditioned souls about devotional service. The word Acharya means teacher. The special function of such a teacher is to make people Krishna conscious. A bona fide teacher following in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya has no other business than to spread the principles of Krishna consciousness all over the world. The real qualification of an acharya is that he presents himself as a servant of the Supreme. Such a bona fide acharya can never support the demoniac activities of atheistic men who present themselves as God. It is the main business of an acharya to defy such impostors, posing as God before the innocent public. That's a very interesting point. It says here that if they had showed their potencies as, you know, Mahavishnu, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they would have increased, you know, the tendency that's already there because of Kali Yuga for people to become impersonalist, monist, and self-worshippers. Advaita Acharya is famous because he was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri was the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, Ishvara Puri. So Lord Chaitanya saw Advaita Acharya as his guru because he was, you know, the godbrother of his guru. But Advaita Acharya didn't want that respect. He wanted to be seen as a servitor of Lord Chaitanya. So, you know, the position of servitor or the relationship of servitor to master is very intimate. Like if you have some property that belongs to someone else, like you borrowed it, you're especially careful the way you treat it. You know, you wouldn't want to damage it or lose it or anything like that. You're more careful because it belongs to someone else. But if it's your property, then you would treat it differently. You might even abuse it some, you know. So Advaita Acharya wanted that kind of relationship. He wanted to be considered the property of Lord Chaitanya, so he wanted Lord Chaitanya not to treat him like with that careful, you know, heightened respect. And so he couldn't get it. Lord Chaitanya wouldn't give it to him. So he actually did something very, very bad to get Lord Chaitanya to abuse him, to treat him like a servitor. You know, he started explaining the Bhagavad Gita according to monistic philosophy. For me, you know, I didn't have to try to get chastised by my spirit. All I had to do was like walk in the room, you know. That was good enough. But Advaita had to do something really bad, you know. Since he has no other occupation than to teach devotional service, his name is Advaita Acharya. He is the spiritual master of all devotees and is the most revered personality in the world. By a combination of these two names, his name is Advaita Acharya. Purport. Sri Advaita Acharya is the prime spiritual master of the Vaishnavas, and he is worshipable by all Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas must follow in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya, for by so doing, one can actually engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Since he is a limb or part of the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, he also bears the name Kamalaksha. Kamalaksha. His associates have the same bodily features as the Lord. They all have four arms and are dressed in yellow garments like Narayan. Sri Advaita Acharya is the principal limb of the Supreme Lord. His truths, names, and attributes are all wonderful. He worshipped Krishna with tulsi leaves and water of the Ganges and called for him in a loud voice. Thus, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on earth, accompanied by his personal associates. It is through him, Advaita Acharya, that Lord Chaitanya spread the Sankirtan movement, and through him that he delivered the world. The glory and attributes of Advaita Acharya are unlimited. How can the insignificant living entities fathom them? Sri Advaita Acharya is a principal limb of Lord Chaitanya. Another limb of the Lord is Nityananda Prabhu. The devotees headed by Srivas are his smaller limbs. They are like his hands, face, and eyes, and his disc and other weapons. With all of them, Lord Chaitanya performed his pastimes, and with them he spread his mission. Thinking he, Sri Advaita Acharya, is a disciple of Sri Madhavendrapuri, Lord Chaitanya obeys him, respecting him as his spiritual master. Purport. Sri Madhavendrapuri is one of the Acharyas in the disciplic succession from Madhvacharya. Madhavendrapuri had two principal disciples, Ishvarapuri and Sri Advaita Prabhu. Therefore, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is a disciplic succession from Madhvacharya. This fact has been accepted in the authorized books known as Gaura Ganodesh Deepika and Prameya Ratnavali, as well as by Gopal Guru Goswami. The Gaura Ganodesh Deepika 22 clearly states the disciplic succession of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas as follows. Lord Brahma is the direct disciple of Vishnu, the Lord of the spiritual sky. His disciple is Narada. Narada's disciple is Vyas. And Vyas' disciples are Sukadeva Goswami and Madhvacharya. Padmanabha Acharya is the disciple of Madhvacharya. And Narahari is the disciple of Padmanabha Acharya. Madhava is the disciple of Narahari. Akshobhya is the direct disciple of Madhava. And Jayatirtha is the disciple of Akshobhya. Jayatirtha's disciple is Gyanasindhu, and his disciple is Mahanidhi. Vidyanidhi is the disciple of Mahanidhi, and Rajendra is the disciple of Vidyanidhi. Jayadharma is the disciple of Rajendra. Purushottama is the disciple of Jayadharma. Sriman Lakshmipati is the disciple of Vyasatirtha, who is the disciple of Purushottama. And Madhavendrapuri is the disciple of Lakshmipati. To maintain the proper etiquette for the principles of religion, Lord Chaitanya bows down at the lotus feet of Sri Advaita Acharya with reverential prayers and devotion. Sri Advaita Acharya, however, considers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his master, and he thinks of himself as a servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He forgets himself in the joy of that conception and teaches all living entities, "You are servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." The conception of servitude to Sri Krishna generates such an ocean of joy in the soul that even the joy of oneness with the Absolute, if multiplied 10 million times, could not compare to a drop of it. He says, "Nityananda and I are servants of Lord Chaitanya. Nowhere else is there such joy as that which is tasted in this emotion of servitude." The most beloved goddess of fortune resides on the chest of Sri Krishna. Yet she too, earnestly praying, begs for the joy of service at his feet. All the associates of Lord Krishna, such as Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Shuka, and Sanatan Kumara, are very pleased in the sentiment of servitude. Sri Nityananda, the wandering mendicant, is the foremost of all the associates of Lord Chaitanya. He became mad in the ecstasy of service to Lord Chaitanya. Srivas, Haridas, Ramadas, Gadadhar, Murari, Mukunda, Chandrasekhar, and Vakreshwar are all glorious and are all learned scholars, but the sentiment of servitude to Lord Chaitanya makes them mad in ecstasy. Thus they dance, sing, and laugh like madmen, and they instruct everyone, "Just be loving servants of Lord Chaitanya." Sri Advaita Acharya thinks, "Lord Chaitanya considers me his spiritual master, yet I feel myself to be only his servant." Love for Krishna has this one unique effect. It imbues superiors, equals, and inferiors with the spirit of service to Lord Krishna. I'll read that one more time. Love for Krishna has this one unique effect. It imbues superiors, equals, and inferiors with the spirit of service to Lord Krishna. Purport. There are two kinds of devotional service. The way of Pancharatrika, regulative principles, and the way of Bhagavata, transcendental loving service. The love of Godhead of those engaged in Pancharatrika, regulative principles, depends more or less on the opulent and reverential platform. But the worship of Radha and Krishna is purely on the platform of transcendental love. Even persons who play as the superiors of Krishna also take the chance to offer transcendental loving service to the Lord. The service attitude of the devotees who play the parts of superiors of the Lord is very difficult to understand. But it can be very plainly understood in connection with the super excellence of their particular service to Lord Krishna. A vivid example is the service of Mother Yashoda to Krishna, which is distinct. In the feature of Narayan, the Lord can accept service only from his associates who play parts in which they are equal to or less than him. But in the feature of Lord Krishna, he accepts service very plainly from his fathers, teachers, and other elders, who are his superiors, as well as from his equals and his subordinates. This is very wonderful. I'm going to read that one more time. A vivid example is the service of Mother Yashoda to Krishna, which is distinct. In the feature of Narayan, the Lord can accept services only from his associates who play parts in which they are equal to or less than him. But in the feature of Lord Krishna, he accepts service very plainly from his fathers, teachers, and other elders, who are his superiors, as well as from his equals and his subordinates. This is very wonderful. For evidence, please listen to the examples described in the revealed scriptures, which are corroborated by the realization of great souls. Although no one is a more respected elder for Krishna than Nanda Maharaj in Vraja, who in transcendental paternal love has no knowledge that his son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still, ecstatic love makes him, what to speak of others, feel himself to be the servant of Lord Krishna. He too prays for attachment and devotion to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, as the words from his own mouth give evidence. My dear Uddhava, please hear me. In truth, Krishna is my son. But even if you think that he is God, I would still bear toward him my own feelings for my son. May my mind be attached to your Lord Krishna. May our minds be attached to the lotus feet of your Lord Krishna. May our tongues chant his holy names, and may our bodies lie prostrate before him. Wherever we wander in the material universe, under the influence of karma by the will of the Lord, may our auspicious activities cause our attraction to Lord Krishna to increase. Purport. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 1047-66-67 were spoken by the denizens of Vrindavan, headed by Maharaj Nanda and his associates, to Uddhava, who had come from Mathura. Lord Krishna's friends in Vrindavan, headed by Sridham, have pure fraternal affection for Lord Krishna and have no idea of his opulences. Although they fight with him and climb upon his shoulders, they worship his lotus feet in his spirit of servitude. Some of the friends of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, massaged his feet, and others whose sinful reactions had been destroyed, fanned him with handheld fans. Even the beloved girlfriends of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, the gopis, the dust of whose feet was desired by Sri Uddhava, and who are more dear to Krishna than anyone else, regard themselves as Krishna's maidservants. O Lord, remover of the afflictions of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, O hero of all women, O Lord, who destroy the pride of your devotees by your sweet, gentle smile, O friend, we are your maidservants. Please fulfill our desires and show us your attractive lotus face. O Uddhava, it is indeed regrettable that Krishna resides in Mathura. Does he remember his father's household affairs and his friends, the coward boys? O great soul, does he ever talk about us, his maidservants? When will he lay on our heads his aguru-scented hand? What to speak of the other gopis, even Sri Radhika, who in every respect is the most elevated of them all, and who has bound Sri Krishna forever by her loving attributes, serves his feet as his maidservant. O my Lord, O my husband, O most dearly beloved, O mighty armed Lord, where are you? Where are you? O my friend, reveal yourself to your maidservant, who is very much aggrieved by your absence. Purport. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:30-39. When the rasa dance was going on in full swing, Krishna left all the gopis and took only Srimati Radharani with him. At that time, all the gopis lamented, and Srimati Radharani, being proud of her position, requested Krishna to carry her wherever he liked. Then Krishna immediately disappeared from the scene, and Srimati Radharani began to lament. In Dwarka Dham, all the queens, headed by Rukmini, also considered themselves maidservants of Lord Krishna. When Jarasandha and other kings, bows and arrows upraised, stood ready to deliver me in charity to Shishupal, he forcibly took me from their midst as a lion takes its share of goats and sheep. The dust of his lotus feet is therefore the crown of unconquerable soldiers. The dust of his lotus feet is the crown of unconquerable soldiers. May those lotus feet, which are the shelter of the goddess of fortune, be the object of my worship. Rukmini. I haven't finished, but I have to go. I wasn't able to finish the whole chapter. What do you, Prabhus, want to do? You want to? Do you want one of you want to continue reading, or do you want to end here? It's already 8:39. Yeah. Okay, Jason. You can either finish reading the chapter, or we could end here. It's up to you. Yeah, that would be wonderful. Oh, thank you. Okay, so here we are right here. This verse. And you basically, you just got a couple more pages till the end of the chapter. Okay. Thank
you. Okay, Adi Lila, Chapter 6. Text 74. Knowing me to be performing austerities with the desire to touch his feet, he came with his friend Arjuna and accepted my hand. Yet I am but a maidservant engaged in sweeping the floor of the house of Sri Krishna. Purport. Like the previous verse, this verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.83.11 in connection with the meeting of the family ladies of the Kuru and Yadu dynasties at Samantapanchatka. At the time of that meeting, the queen of Krishna named Kalindi spoke to Draupadi in this way. Through austerity and through renunciation of all attachments, we have become maidservants in the home of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is satisfied in himself. During the same incident, this verse, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.83.39, was spoken to Draupadi by a queen of Krishna's named Lakshmana. 76. What to speak of others, even Lord Baladev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is full of emotions like pure friendship and paternal love. Purport. Although Lord Baladev appeared before the birth of Lord Krishna and is therefore Krishna's worshipable elder brother, he used to act as Krishna's eternal servitor. In the spiritual sky, all the Vaikuntha planets are predominated by the quadruple expansions of Krishna, known as the Chaturvyuha. They are direct expansions from Baladev. It is the singularity of the Supreme Lord that everyone in the spiritual sky thinks himself a servitor of the Lord. According to social convention, one may be superior to Krishna, but factually everyone engages in his service. Therefore, in the spiritual sky or the material sky, in all the different planets, no one is able to supersede Lord Krishna or demand service from him. On the contrary, everyone engages in the service of Lord Krishna. As such, the more a person engages in the service of the Lord, the more he is important. And conversely, the more one is bereft of the transcendental service of Krishna, the more he invites the bad fortune of material contamination. In the material world, although materialists want to become one with God or compete with God, everyone directly or indirectly engages in the service of the Lord. The more one is forgetful of the service of Krishna, the more he is considered to be dying. Therefore, when one develops pure Krishna consciousness, he immediately develops his eternal servitorship to Krishna. 77. He also considers himself a servant of Lord Krishna. Indeed, who is there who does not have this conception of being a servant of Lord Krishna? 78. He who is Sesha, Shankarshana, with his thousands of mouths, serves Sri Krishna by assuming 10 forms. 79. Rudra, who is an expansion of Sadashiva, and who appears in unlimited universes, is also a Gunavarata, qualitative incarnation, and is the ornament of all the demigods and the endless universes. Purport. There are 11 expansions of Rudra, or Lord Shiva. They are as follows. Ajikapat, Abhibrajana, Virupaksha, Raivata, Hara, Bahurupa, Devareshtra, Trimbaka, Savitra, Jayanta, Pinaki, and Aparijita. Besides these expansions, there are 8 forms of Rudra called earth, water, fire, air, sky, and the sun, the moon, and the Somyaji. Generally, all these Rudras have 5 faces, 3 eyes, and 10 arms. Sometimes it is found that Rudra is compared to Brahma and considered the living entity. But when Rudra is explained to be a partial expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is compared to Sesha.
Lord Shiva is therefore simultaneously an expansion of Lord Vishnu and, in his capacity for the annihilating the creation, one of the living entities. As an expansion of Lord Vishnu, he is called Hara. Wait a minute, let me read that again. Lord Shiva is therefore simultaneously an expansion of Lord Vishnu and, in his capacity for annihilating the creation, one of the living entities. As an expansion of Lord Vishnu, he is called Hara, and he is transcendental to the material qualities, but when he is in touch with Tamoguna, he appears contaminated by the material modes of nature. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam and in the Brahma Samhita. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, it is stated that Lord Rudra is always associated with the material nature when she is in the neutral, unmanifested stage. But when the modes of material nature are agitated, he associates with material nature from a distance. In the Brahma Samhita, the relationship between Vishnu and Lord Shiva is compared to that between milk and yogurt. Milk is converted into yogurt by certain additives, but although milk and yogurt have the same ingredients, they have different functions. Similarly, Lord Shiva is an expansion of Lord Vishnu, yet because of his taking part in the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation, he is considered to be changed, like milk converted into yogurt. In the Puranas, it is found that Shiva appears sometimes from the heads of Brahma and sometimes from the head of Vishnu. The annihilator, Rudra, is born from Shankarasana and the ultimate fire to burn the whole creation. In the Vayu Purana, there is a description of Sadais Shiva in one of the Vaikuntha planets. That Sada Shiva is a direct expansion of Lord Krishna's form for pastimes. It is said that Sada Shiva, Lord Shambhu, is an expansion from the Sada Shiva in the Vaikuntha planets, Lord Vishnu, and that his consort, Mahamaya, is an expansion of Rama Devi, or Lakshmi. Mahamaya is the origin or birthplace of material nature. 80. He also desires only to be a servant of Lord Krishna. Sri Sada Shiva always says, "I am the servant of Lord Krishna." 81. Intoxicated by ecstatic love for Lord Krishna, he becomes overwhelmed and incessantly dances without clothing and sings about the Lord Krishna's qualities and pastimes. 82. All the emotions, whether those of father, mother, teacher, or friend, are full of sentiments of servitude. That is the nature of love of Krishna. 83. Lord Krishna, the one master and the Lord of the universe, is worthy of being served by everyone. Indeed, everyone is but a servant of his servants. That same Lord Krishna has descended as Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone, therefore, is his servant. Some accept him, whereas others do not, yet everyone is his servant. One who does not accept him, however, will be ruined by his sinful activities. Purport. When a living entity forgets his constitutional position, he prepares himself to be an enjoyer of the material resources. Sometimes he is also misguided by the thought that service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not absolute engagement. In other words, he thinks that there are many other engagements for a living entity besides the service of the Lord. Such a foolish person does not know that in any position he either directly or indirectly engages in activities of service to the Supreme Lord. Actually, if a person does not engage in the service of the Lord, all inauspicious activities encumber him because service to the Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya, is the constitutional position of the infinitesimal living entities. Because the living entity is infinitesimal, the allurement of material enjoyment attracts him, and he tries to enjoy matter, forgetting his constitutional position. But when his dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened, he no longer engages in the service of matter, but engages in the service of the Lord. In other words, when one is forgetful of his constitutional position, he appears in the position of the Lord of material nature. Even at that time, he remains a servant of the Supreme Lord, but in an unqualified or contaminated state. 86. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, a servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya and a servant of his servants. Saying this, Advaita Prabhu dances and loudly sings. Then at the next moment, he quietly sits down. The source of the sentiment of servitude is indeed Lord Balaram. The plenary expansions who follow him are all influenced by that ecstasy. Lord Shankarashana, who is one of his incarnations, always considers himself a devotee. Another of his incarnations, Lakshmana, who is very beautiful and opulent, always serves Lord Krishna. The Vishnu who lies on the causal ocean is an incarnation of Lord Shankarashana, and accordingly, the emotion of being a devotee is always present in his heart. Advaita Acharya is a separate expansion of him. He always engages in devotional service with his thoughts, words, and actions. By his words, he declares, I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Thus, with his mind, he always thinks, I am his devotee. With his body, he worshipped the Lord by offering Ganges water and tulsi leaves, and preaching devotional service, he delivered the entire universe. Shesha Shankarashana, who holds all the planets on his heads, expands himself in different bodies to render service to Lord Krishna. These are all incarnations of Lord Krishna, yet we always find that they act as devotees. The scriptures call them incarnations as devotees, bhakta avatar. The position of being such an incarnation is above all others. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in different incarnations, but his appearance in the role of a devotee is more beneficial to the conditioned souls than in other incarnation with all their opulences. Sometimes a conditioned soul is bewildered when he tries to understand the incarnation of Godhead with full opulence. Lord Krishna appeared and performed many uncommon activities, and some materialists misunderstood him. But his appearance as Lord Chaitanya did not show much of his opulences, and therefore fewer conditioned souls were bewildered. Misunderstanding the Lord, many fools consider themselves incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the result is that after leaving the material body, they enter as species of jackals. Persons who cannot understand the real significance of an incarnation must attain such lower species of life as punishment. Conditioned souls who are puffed up by false egoism and who try to become one with the Supreme Lord become mayavadis. 98. Lord Krishna is the source of all incarnations, and all others are his parts and or partial incarnations. We find that the whole and the part behave as superior and inferior. The source of all incarnations has the emotions of a superior when he considers himself the master, and he has the emotions of an inferior when he considers himself a devotee. The position of being a devotee is higher than that of equality with Lord Krishna, for the devotees are dearer to Lord Krishna than his own self. Purport. The conception of oneness with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is inferior to that of eternal service to the Lord, because Lord Krishna is more affectionate to devotees than to his personal self. In Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.68, the Lord clearly says, English, the devotees are my heart, and I am the heart of my devotees. My devotees do not know anyone but me. Similarly, I do not know anybody but my devotees. This is the intimate relationship between the Lord and his devotees. 101. Lord Krishna considered his devotees greater than himself. In this connection, the scriptures provide an abundance of evidence. O Uddhava, neither Brahma, nor Shankara, nor Sankarsana, nor Lakshmi, nor even my own self is as dear to me as you. Purport. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14-15. 103. The sweetness of Lord Krishna is not to be tasted by those who consider themselves equal to Krishna. It is to be tasted only through the sentiment of servitude. This conclusion of the revealed scriptures is also the realization of experienced devotees. Fools and rascals, however, cannot understand the opulences of devotional emotions. Purport. When a person is liberated in this swarupya form of liberation, having a spiritual form exactly like Vishnu, it is not possible for him to relish the relationship of Krishna's personal associates and their exchange of mellows. The devotees of Krishna, however, in their loving relationships with Krishna, sometimes forget their own identities. Sometimes they think themselves one with Krishna, and yet relish still greater transcendental mellow in that way. People in general, because of their foolishness only, try to become masters of everything, forgetting the transcendental mellow of servitorship to the Lord. When a person is actually advanced in spiritual understanding, however, he can accept the transcendental servitorship of the Lord without hesitation. 105-106. Baladev, Lakshmana, Advaita Acharya, Lord Nityananda, Lord Shesha, and Lord Sankarsana taste the nectarian mellows of the transcendental bliss of Lord Krishna by recognizing themselves as being his devotees and servants. They are all mad with that happiness, and they know nothing else. What to speak of others? Even Lord Krishna himself becomes thirsty to taste his own sweetness. He tries to taste his own sweetness, but he cannot do so without attempting the emotions of a devotee. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna wanted to relish the transcendental mellow of a devotee, and therefore he accepted the role of a devotee by appearing as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 109. Therefore Lord Krishna accepted the position of a devotee and descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya, who is complete in every respect. He tastes his own sweetness through the various emotions of a devotee. I have formally explained this conclusion. Purport. Lord Chaitanya, who is known as Sri Gaur Hari, is complete in relishing all the different mellows, namely neutrality, servitorship, fraternity, parental affection, and conjugal love. By accepting the ecstasy of different grades of devotees, he is complete in relishing all the mellows of these relationships. 111. All the incarnations are entitled to the emotions of devotees. There is no higher bliss than this. Purport. All the different incarnations of Lord Vishnu have the right to play the roles of servitors of Lord Krishna by descending as devotees. When an incarnation gives up the understanding of his godhood and plays the part of servitor, he enjoys a greater taste of transcendental mellows than when he plays the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 112. The original Bhakta avatar is Sankarsana. Sri Advaita is counted among such incarnations. Purport. Although Sri Advaita Prabhu belongs to the Vishnu category, he displays servitorship to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as one of his associates. When Lord Vishnu appears as a servitor, he is called an incarnation of a devotee of Lord Krishna. Sri Sankarsana, who is an incarnation of Vishnu in the spiritual sky, known as the Greater Vaikuntha, is the chief of the quadruple incarnations and is the original incarnation of a devotee. Lord Mahavishnu, who is lying on the causal ocean, is a manifestation of Sankarsana. He is the original personality of Godhead who glances over the material and efficient causes of the cosmic manifestation. Advaita Prabhu is accepted as an incarnation of Mahavishnu. All the planetary manifestations of Sankarsana are indirect expansions of Lord Krishna. That consideration also makes Advaita Prabhu an eternal servitor of Gaura Krishna. Therefore, he is accepted as a devotee incarnation. 113. The glories of Sri Advaita Acharya are boundless, for his sincere vibrations brought about Lord Chaitanya's descent upon this earth. 114. He liberated the universe by preaching Sankirtan. Thus, the people of the world receive the treasure of love of Godhead through the mercy of Sri Advaita. Who can describe the unlimited glories of Advaita Acharya? I write here as much as I have known from great authorities. I offer my obeisances 10 million times to the lotus feet of Sri Advaita Acharya. Please do not take offense at this. Your glories are as fathomless as millions of oceans and seas. Speaking of its measure is a great offense indeed. All glories to Sri Advaita Acharya. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the superior Lord Nityananda. Thus, in two verses, I have described the truth concerning Advaita Acharya. Now, O devotees, please hear about the five truths, Panchatattva. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunatha, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 6th chapter, describing the glories of Sri Advaita Acharya. Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu Ki Jai.